translation, in performing his prescribed duties as king, Maharaj Ambarish always offered the results of his royal activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the enjoyer of everything and is beyond the perception of material senses. He certainly took advice from brahmanas who were faithful devotees of the Lord, and thus he ruled the planet Earth without difficulty. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhaktaram Yogitapasham Savaloka Maheshwaram Shriham Savri Bhutanam Ketvirmam Shanti Mrichhati. People are very much anxious to live in peace and prosperity in this material world, and here in Bhagavad Gita the peace formula is given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should understand that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate proprietor of all the planets and is therefore the enjoyer of all activities, political, social, cultural, religious, economic, and so on. The Lord has given perfect advice in Bhagavad Gita, and Ambarish Maharaj, as an ideal executive head, ruled the entire world as a Vaishnava, taking advice from Vaishnava Brahmanas. The Shastras enjoin that even though a Brahmana may be well versed in the occupational brahminical duties and may be very learned in Vedic knowledge, he cannot give advice as a guru until he is a Vaishnava. Satkamani puno vipro mantra tancha visharadaha avaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava sva pacho guru. Therefore, as indicated here by the words tannishta vipra bihihita, Maharaj Ambarish took advice from brahmanas who were pure devotees of the Lord. For ordinary brahmanas, who are merely learned scholars or experts in performing ritualistic ceremonies, are not competent to give advice. In modern times, there are legislative assemblies whose members are authorized to make laws for the welfare of the state. But according to this description of the kingdom of Maharaj Ambarish, the country or the world should be ruled by a chief executive whose advisors are all devotee brahmanas. Such advisors or members of the legislative assembly should not be professional politicians, nor should they be selected by the ignorant public. Rather, they should be appointed by the king. When the king, the executive head of the state, is a devotee and he follows instructions of devotee brahmanas in ruling the country, everyone will be peaceful and prosperous. When the king and his advisors are perfect devotees, nothing can go wrong in the state. All the citizens should become devotees of the Lord, and then their good character will automatically follow. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sabe gunai stacha samaste surah harav abhaktyasya kutho mahaguna manuratena nasati Devato Bahi. Translation. One who has unflinching devotion for the Personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods, but one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Citizens under the guidance of a Krishna-conscious king will become devotees, and then there will be no need to enact new laws every day to reform the way of life in the state. If the citizens are trained to become devotees, they will automatically become peaceful and honest. And if they are guided by a devoted king, advised by devotees, the state will not be in the material world, but in the spiritual world. All the states of the world should, therefore, follow the ideal rule of a or administration of Maharaj Amrish as described here. End of Prabhupada. Om Agyanam Tanam Dasha Agyanam Salakaya Chakshur Nidam Dasmai Sri Guru Ve Namaha Namaha Vishnu Madaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharini Nevishesha Shandavari Pastarizatani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaur Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokul Nanda Sita Ramas Mahiman Nittai Gaur Ki Jai. Translation again. In performing his prescribed duties as King, Maharaj Amrish always offered the results of his royal activities to the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, who is the enjoyer of everything and is beyond the perception of material senses. He certainly took advice from the Brahmanas, who were faithful devotees of the Lord, and thus he ruled the planet Earth without difficulty. We continue in the chapter of how pure devotee Amrish Maharaj and how he was offended by Devrasa Muni, and eventually Devrasa Muni had to go to the Lord for protection for his great offense, and even the Lord couldn't protect him. You know, you've offended my devotee, you go and ask him for forgiveness. If he forgives you, then you'll be protected. So such a good devotee of the Lord. So if the head of state, Prabhupada is saying, Prabhupada is very concerned about the planet and the citizens, that everyone should, that he because he's a pure devotee of the Lord, and he made it his mission in life to give freedom from this material entanglement and go back to Godhead by traveling the world and giving Krishna consciousness. So the process how to become develop one's dormant love of Krishna and thus go back to Godhead. And here he's saying that the administration should take advice from this, take note of this narration in the Purana. That is what these stories are for, these histories are for. So that we can always, there's always a reference for any kind of activities that we perform in life or any anomalies that come. You can always find a story in the Puranas, Mahabharata, you can always find a similar incident, and then we can follow the advice, that is a standard advice, and there may be two or three different versions of the for the same particular, how to deal with the same particular incident. So there's sometimes a choice. But anyway, there'll always be an incident, a very similar incident, that you can refer to. This is what happened, and the sages, the learned brahmanas, they will recite the scriptures. Yes, in the past, the same similar thing happened, and in this instance, they did this or they did that. So that would be like the standard, that your Supreme Court, when you have a case and it's decided in the Supreme Court, that generally becomes a standard for all other cases. So, obviously, here's the ideal situation, Amrish Maharaj, he was a Vaishnava, and his court, his advisors, they were Brahmana, Vaishnava Brahmanas. Means Vaishnava Brahmana means one very learned in the scripture. So they know the basic principles of life. They know what is this material world. They know what is the Lord. They know what is a living entity, and they know the interactions between them. That is all that is to be known. And then there's all the different rules, how to combine this knowledge through activity and attain the result of becoming free from samsara, going back to Godhead. So they're learning and all these things. And because there's many scriptures like these six Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. It's like Bhagavad Purana. It's for those in the mode of goodness. But everyone can't accept this at face value. So there's six Puranas for those in the mode of passion, and there's six for those in the mode of ignorance. It's easy for Maharaj Ambarish to accept what the Brahmanas are saying, because they know the goal of life is to surrender to Krishna, because they understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they're learned Brahmanas. They study the revealed scriptures. They've understood all the conclusions of the scriptures that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he's the creator, then he's also the enjoyer of everything. So everything should be done as in consideration of his pleasure. So this is a perfection of life, because that is what goes on in the spiritual world. Everyone is acting for the pleasure of Krishna, or whatever form he may take, or whatever planet you may be in the spiritual world. So that is reality. Jivesu poi Krishna Nityadas. When we're not acting for the pleasure of Krishna, then we're not properly situated. So we have, in our society, it's a very pure society, we only have two rules. Always remember Krishna, and never forget Krishna. But if you can't follow those two rules, then there's many other rules also. But they're the principal ones, and all those other rules are to support those two, to bring us to that point. But the Brahmins, the Vaishnava Brahmins, they know, they say this is what is to be done. Everyone should surrender to Krishna, and this is a way to live life for the maximum benefit, because everyone wants two things in the world: peace and prosperity. So how to get peace and prosperity? So they know that. They know what everyone wants, right? Everyone wants peace because the material world is troublesome, difficult. Birth, old age, disease, death, adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhutik, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, all these kind of things. This is what the material world is, and you've got to deal with it. The things we don't want are here. So you have to pass through this world amidst all these things, and still we're hoping for a peaceful situation within this material world. So the best way to pass through this world is by following the instructions of the designer of this world, Krishna, Vishnu. So if we follow his instruction, then obviously that's a bit, you can't improve on that way of life for living in a material world, because from Dharma, following the laws of God constitutes religion or real religion. And the laws or the rule is how to be more comfortable, most comfortable in life. Then it's less difficult. It means how to, because already we have to deal with all these things, these pressures that we have on us. But how to deal with them and how to cross them easily. How to overcome the problems of eating, sleeping, enjoying, and defending in the simplest possible way. This is what everyone wants. In modern, we're trying to do the same thing also, trying to cut the corners, trying to find an easier way to eat, a better way to sleep, a better way to do everything. But because they don't actually follow scripture, therefore there's so many anomalies and not peaceful. But Krishna knows the best way. He knows what the material world is. Basically the principle is to always remember Krishna. In other words, be Krishna conscious. Because if we're not Krishna conscious, then we're self-conscious. Then there's no ideal state. There's no real cooperation. I'm only cooperating with you because I'll get some benefit from it. But there's no central point in human society, because everyone is self-interested. But in the society of devotees, then there is one center point, it's Krishna. Everyone's acting for Krishna's pleasure. Whereas when we forget that, when everyone is acting for their own pleasure, so there's always, you'll always find that disparity. There'll never be actual peace. Peace comes from Dharma. Artha comes from Dharma. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the four perfections. For Dharma means the, ideally, the following the laws of God. And from Dharma comes Artha or facility. Facility, you can deal with eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and all the old age disease, death, better, in a better way. You have facility with karma. If you follow Dharma, if your Dharma, your Dharmic, you'll be born in the mode of goodness. Lifestyle will be much easier. Things will be much easier come by. You'll be more peaceful, more detached. Just like the Brahmanas here, they've accepted everything. They've accepted the truth. When you pass this knowledge down, of course it's not the same for everyone, because if the Maharaj Ambarish says yes, this is the best way to act. Of course the laws are eternal. So this is the best way to act. They're all Vaishnavas, they're all devotees. Yeah, they want you to chant Hare Krishna, follow the four Vedic principles. So then the Kachiyas have to enforce that. But hey, people, why are you forcing your thing on me? I need my space. I need, you know, these. I'm a real person living in a real world. These eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they're real. They have meaning for me. They're big things. The Brahmins are detached, you see. Those necessities are not so important for them. But then you're dealing with other people who are not in the mode of goodness, or not Vaishnavas. So therefore you've got the different shastras to deal with those, the different rules to keep them harnessed in, gradually going towards the goal. They can't take to it directly, these highest principles. So therefore you've got these different scriptures for the different classes of people who are affected by the different modes of nature. The more the mode of ignorance, then the more narrow-minded you become. The more mode of goodness, the more broad-minded one becomes. So then it goes all the way down. So the different castes, or the different those people are affected in different ways. They've given their rules to their society to live in. So it's not the same rule for everyone. It's different rules, different the universal rules, the subtle laws also apply. The activity, wrong activity of a Brahma he'll get much more bad result than a wrong activity as a Sudra. They may be doing the same activity, but the result of the Brahmana will be far greater, because he's actually he should know better, and he's in a leading position. he has a different standard to follow. So different is the laws of nature are very subtle. But without being a Vaishnava, then or a devotee of Krishna, then the all the rules and regulations and the they're not so important. They won't work so well, because there's no real purpose to following rules and regulations. See, the purpose of the rule and regulations is to insulate one from Maya. Insulate one from the modes of passion and ignorance. But if you don't know what's going on, then you just make your own rules and regulations. And then, as Prabhupada says, they keep on changing. You have to legislate new laws all the time, because the nature of Maya is, if you try to resolve a problem according to your own idea, then that generally results in 10 more problems. And then you have to handle all those problems. That's how entangling Maya is. So we should deal with Maya according to the way that the Lord says, because Maya is His energy, it's working under His direction. So He knows perfectly well the best way to deal with the material energy. And unless the Prabhupada also mentioned here in the purport that and this one is actually a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. he can't give the ultimate advice. Huh? Otherwise, if one is not a Vaishnava devotee, then what the ultimate advice is how to be happy, how to be peaceful, and how to be happy. It stops there. It stops at economic development and sense gratification. Because you'll be, if you have the teaching is in the secular world today, you should earn a lot of money, so get a good education. If you earn a lot of money, then you can live comfortably. Your problems will be less, right? So see, how to develop economically, then you'll be peaceful, then you can enjoy more. This is the, if they don't know what the actual, if they're not Vaishnavas, that would be their goal, right? If you're forgetting, if God doesn't come into the picture, then you put yourself in the picture, and yourself is your body, and the body's made of senses, and we're looking for happiness. So that would be the goal, to remove the distress and attain happiness. So that's what you find in the, that's what we're being taught. We're taught in educational systems, and that is what the government is promoting, right? That you are the body, you can enjoy, we just have to manage the state nicely to remove all the problems, then it'd be nice facility to enjoy. This is the political party's goals. And then you're fighting which political party is better than the other one, but they're both actually relative, because none of them have any real direction, that they don't know the actual purpose of life. So how can they lead? Blind leading the blind. So that should be known, that Krishna, the purpose is a peace formula, is Bhakti Rama. That Krishna is the supreme controller. He's the enjoyer, and he's your best friend. So if we can accept this, then that'll be to our benefit. So as much as we can accept it, then to that degree we'll be peaceful and happy. Prosperous means being peaceful, really, because the Brahman as well, this is austerity. Huh? His wealth is that he doesn't have any anxiety. he can be peaceful in any situation. So that is the Brahman's wealth. He's already is in the mode of goodness. So it's a much better situation to live your life. That's a peaceful situation. Then you don't have to struggle so hard, don't have to worry so much. Then with that extra time, you can put that energy into developing Krishna consciousness. So that's the whole effect of having the good king. I was asked to speak a little about Julan Yatra today, okay, which is the Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He descends in this material world as Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Nitai Gaur, etc., for our benefit, to give us a chance to experience the reality, as opposed to this existence of Maya. That's his mercy. He's coming in in different ways. In his spirituality, he's entering into the material atmosphere in the form of his Bhagavatam and his Acha Avatar. His devotees, pure devotees. His instructions. His service, his prasadam, so his name, fame, quality, pastimes, all absolute. So when we connect with those, we're connected to the absolute truth. And that is called liberation. So therefore, we get a lot of opportunities to engage in our constitutional position as the eternal servants of Krishna. That is what the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is all about. It's given us an opportunity to engage 24 hours a day, engage our senses in the service of Krishna. Very wonderful opportunity that we have. And so Krishna tells us and shows us how nice it is, spiritual consciousness. Such a relief. Such hard work. Material life is very difficult. It's very hard work. So much anxiety to think about sense gratification. Generally don't know it. But if one observes fast, like on these Ekadasi days, at the end of the day, if you do a complete fast, your senses become very subdued, isn't it? And it's painful even to think about sense gratification, isn't it? Such a hard, such a energy drag to think about sense gratification when you've been fasting a lot. You experience that. But because when the senses of food is there and we're energetic and young and foolish, then we think that the result of that would be pleasure. But actually it's very difficult. When your senses are subdued, you find it's actually very difficult. That in material endeavor is so exhausting. God, the material world is Prabhupada calls a hard struggle for existence. Whereas on the spiritual side, as soon as we act for Krishna's pleasure, as soon as we consciously act for Krishna, I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure, I don't want any back from it. You feel so peaceful. Right? That's our experience. Consciously say that. I'm doing this just for Krishna's pleasure. And you feel so happy. Oh, the devotee's pleasure. Isn't it? We feel much happier when we're serving somebody else, doing service for somebody else that we like. Than when we're doing something for ourselves. This is our actual experience. So 24 hours, if we can do that, we're very happy. Then that's the actual position of bliss, ananda. This is what we're supposed to be doing. So Krishna comes and performs these pastimes just to give us an idea of the reality. This pastime of Julan is a very extraordinary pastime. The big festival. A very wonderful pastime. Everyone comes to that Julan festival in Vrindavan. Here are the descriptions. That the Yogamaya and the potencies, they're coming to arrange the Vrindavan forest for Krishna's pleasure, have a swing festival. And so everyone comes, all the different forest goddesses, they come and they arrange everything very nicely. Trees, those trees are very extraordinary trees, sometimes because they're called Purbika trees. And the thus is Chintamani. So whatever you want, you can have in the spiritual world. Whatever you desire can be manifest. So then these trees take very extraordinary colors and shapes. And they're so high, the trees grow so big that you cannot see the end. And the branches are intertwined, so that makes a wonderful canopy. And they will hang all different kinds of wonderful cloths up there, silk cloths. And hanging chamaras there. And suspending these swings on golden ropes for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna generally has a julan every day. And when he goes to the forest, then they have their lunch, their picnic with the boys, and Krishna says, okay, let's take a rest after eating. You'll take rest, I'll look after the calves, don't worry. So everyone has a sleep at that time after midday, so it's warm. Then Krishna sneaks off to journey to Radhakund, there he'll meet his Shakis. And they'll have cooling pastimes. They go in there, they bathe in the river and have sport pastimes in the Radhakund. And then they go on their different julans. And they have different julans, different kunjas that the gopis have. So then when the swing moves and it's cool, you get a breeze, you see. So that's the idea. So generally they take place at during the midday heat of the sun. This one, this julan yatra, that's at night time. And the full moon is up and it's shining through the leaves. And all the ground is mottled with this light from the full moon. You probably have seen in the trees here at night time. It looks like piles of rice and sesame seeds. And so everyone comes, Krishna blows his flute. Then everyone is there, the deer are there, standing still, looking. The demigods are coming. Demigods, they're watching from the cloud area, cloud banks. But the julan, they come closer, they come down. Their wives are playing the drums, the kinnaras and the chanaras and the gandharvas, they're singing, and they got the musical instruments. Everyone's coming to see this wonderful festival. Then then Krishna appears, he plays his flute. Then everyone appears, they just automatically appear, just like the gopis just appear like they're coming out of the trees. They're suddenly there, everyone is there. And Krishna sits on the flute, and it's very, very charming that time. The yellow dhoti, reddish cloth around his head, turban, and his flute stuck there, and he's got his left arm on Smriti Radha on his shoulder, swirling a lotus. Very beautiful, very enchanting. So they take a seat on the julan, big julan. And there's different julans, and different directions they have different julans, and different shakis are there, like Shaibar and Palika and Sham. There's different leaders of different gopis. They have different swings, so each side is many swings there. And then they're swinging backwards and forwards. And then they're playing, the manjaris are swinging everyone, and they're playing these musical instruments, and the gandharvas are there with their singing, and it's a really wonderful festival. Very colourful. The chamaras are like swans, or like white lotuses, and the birds start up, their chorus. So very, very wonderful ambience there. Very charming, that picture. And then they have these flower fights. They're making these flower bombs with the pollen from flowers. And they have these, and so they're swinging up like that. When the swings come close, and they throw their bombs at each other. And all these colors the atmosphere keeps changing as the colors pervade everywhere. And they have these pishkas, these water squirt, these pumps, these water cannons. With beautiful scented water, agar, musk, camphor, very, very nice scented substances and colors, and they squirt them, but they never get Radha Krishna. They never get it. But Chandravali gets a lot, they get her a lot. But they're all swinging this way, that way, and meeting. It's very wonderful, the whole, because it's a spiritual world, it's nothing like we can imagine. There's such harmony and color and music, and it's just completely overwhelming. All the senses are completely involved in that. And they, Krishna, of course, he's a supreme enjoyer. And then everyone is for his enjoyment. Yogamaya is expanding for his enjoyment. And also that julan is very wonderful. It can change shape and size. Sometimes it's shaped like a lotus. And then it extends all the petals, 8 petals, and each of the gopis is sitting on the different petals of the of the Julan. Then expands more to 1,000, and 1,000 gopis then extends to hundreds and thousands. Can you imagine this Julan swing with hundreds and thousands of gopis there, and Krishna's with Radha in the middle, and it's swinging all the majestic music, heavenly music from the Gandharvas, and heavenly singing, and sounds you've never heard, colors you've never seen. So that's Krishna's coming to show us all these things. Oh, what a good time they have in the spiritual world. Huh? Everyone is enjoying nicely. there's no hindrance to the enjoyment. Here it is difficult. We want to enjoy it, and we have to go through so much difficulty to achieve that. But there is none. And if there is hindrances, like we see there's a hindrance in Krishna's pastimes, like the elders, like people, because they follow, they do have the modes of the morality codes there. So then Krishna can't be seen in front with Balaram, shouldn't see that. And the elderly gopi shouldn't see that, and especially the married gopis, in-laws, they especially shouldn't see it. So it's very secret. So it needs a lot of planning when they meet, a lot of espionage, a lot of, parrots flying and messages being sent, and what's going on, who's where. There's a whole espionage network there. It's very difficult, actually. But it's Yoga Maya's arrangement. It's not for... It's actually to enhance the Krishna's pleasure, because there's no suffering there. It's Satchit Ananda. But the whole program is how to unite Radha and Krishna, because everyone is interested in Krishna's happiness rather than their own happiness. So they know who brings Krishna the most happiness, right? Who gives Krishna the most happiness? Radharani, Subha, Sridham, Sridham, Mother Yasoda, Nanda, they're the ones that are with him close by. So obviously they give him the most pleasure. Krishna chooses to be with those. So then they want to serve those. Because why should I serve Krishna? They can give Krishna much more pleasure than myself. So this is it, mentality. Das, das, and das, we had that. Why should I try to serve Krishna when there could be someone else serving Krishna much better? Generally we think, let me get up front. But no, they're actually thinking of Krishna's pleasure. We generally, in the material sense, we think of our pleasure. It'd be so nice to be up there with Krishna. But they don't think, what about is Krishna like? So that's perfect Krishna consciousness, the perfect display of Krishna consciousness is there in Vrindavan, in these wonderful sweet activities. So therefore, because to increase their love, then there's these Yoga Maya places these difficulties before them, obstacles before them, so to make all kinds of arrangements. It is his absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? So when there's someone you love, and it's very difficult to approach them, the atmosphere is wrong, the social thing is wrong, you can't express your feelings in those kind of atmospheres, even if you meet. So you find that's the whole program in Vrindavan is Vrippalamba, Sambhog, union and separation. A union, but then they have to part again for some reason or other. Then they have to get back together again. So many obstacles. So that's the pastimes, how to get them together, how to create a nice situation for them to enjoy, and then how to actually get them into the Radha and Krishna, into that situation. That is it. That is Vrindavan. So these are the pastimes that Krishna performs there, where we get a description from either Krishna himself or the saints from the realization. So when we hear about these pastimes, we can be attracted. So nice pastimes. And look at the kind of pleasure, things we think will bring us happiness in this material world. It's so small and mundane. But this is actually our birthright. We should be assisting the Lord in his different pastimes. So this is one of the major festivals there, Julan. And sometimes Krishna swings so hard, he swings it You know, you put your legs up and then back, and you make the swing go faster and faster and higher and higher. And he goes so high, and then you get up and you stop, and then you fall back. You've done it with kids, right? Then when he gets to that position, then Radharani has to really hold Krishna tightly. So he does that a lot. And he does it sometimes so fast that they do a complete circle. The thing goes in a complete circle. But many of the pastimes. So the Jhulam pastime goes practically every day. We have it once a year. But according to some acharyas, you should have a Jhulam every day. So at least we remember this time of the year, we can actually come and pull Radha Gokulananda for their pleasure, offer them nice flowers, and sing their glories in imitation of the real thing. Of course it's real, in this dimension it's the best we can do. But we can do a lot better. We could make a 1,000 petals swing for them. Everyone can swing it at once, if you have the space and the energy. We have in my apology, and I was made, had a jeweled, a diamond-y shingasan on a lotus. There's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of diamonds that Jhulam is made from, very small. Small diamonds, not real diamonds. So they observed that in a very grand way in Mayapur, the youth, Mayapur youth, they've taken over that festival from the Diti department. They do a very wonderful job. They have a nice ambience. They do it in amongst the trees, and they put colored lights in the trees. And they have a big Jhulam mandap with creepers growing all over it. And we have 7 days. The deities go out there on their palki and come back in the evening. But then they have a lot of entertainment for the deities, offerings and aartis, and some different cultural programs. So that's the Lord's mercy, that he's given us a glimpse into the reality and the beauty of the consciousness of the inhabitants of the spiritual world, so that we can hear about it, that we can actually perceive it to a certain extent. Then we can also desire to actually be like that. When will I go back? When will I get the opportunity to go back again? When I leave all this stuff behind? So this will increase our attachment to Krishna. So that is why there's a rule: one must, in daily worship, one must observe the festivals of the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord and the pleasure of the Lord's devotees. Jai Sri Radha Jilan Hari Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Tai Gopinandi Hari Krishna.